Let's start this off with a word of prayer. If you would pray with me. Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to be in Christ, to be considered your children, to be able to call you our Father, a provider and protector. You've brought us together at this time. We're happy to be here. And really, Father, we pray that it's times like this that will help us to draw closer to you. It'll help us to revitalize us and to inspire us to keep on keeping on. And Father, we pray that you'll be with us in this time and the message that comes forth, and that it'll touch hearts, and that we'll be able to even better serve you from this day forward. We thank you and pray all this in Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I think it would be fair to say that we're living in a different time and different place. At least a different time and a different place than we were a year and a half ago. And I might even round that up to 2 years, because it's getting closer to that. And the best way I could define this is, and there's a pretty clear line, and that is there's pre-COVID and there's COVID. So there's a pretty sharp line between those two times. And so behavior in general is what I'm talking about, in general in this country and around the world. It's changed. For example, in the workplace, well, a lot of people are working from home now. And how we do business and how we buy things, that's changed. A lot of business done over the internet now. How people are getting educated, that's changing. How people gather, and no matter what circumstance, it's changing. And I think I'm just grazing the surface of this when I say these things. And all of this, well, it's still in a state of flux. And I'm not really sure where that's going to go as a society. I don't know if we're ever going to go back to what we knew as normal. It would be fair to say, and accurate to say, things are changing. Our environment is changing. How we take care of our daily activities, day-to-day activities, that's all changing. And so, with acknowledging that, and in the realm of how we function as Christians, the question is, have we changed? Have you changed? Has this congregation changed? And I can draw even a larger circle, just the local congregations in this area. Has this, anything changed? Or on a national level, has the church changed? So what I'm really trying to say here, is it possible in the midst of everything going on, is our faith changing? Or at least, are we being tested? So the question is framed here to be both personal and collective. So it's about me, it's about you personally, and it's also about us collectively. So looking back in my life, I can say that there have been times, and I think you can say this too, there have been times that, well, things really were going well. And that's not that something's going wrong right now, but you can look back in your lives and say, well, there were some good times and maybe not so good times. But I like to reflect on good times. I like to reflect on when things are going well, when the family's tight. I'm spiritually well, my family's spiritually well. I'm growing as a Christian. I'm faithful. My work's going good. I have a vision and a plan. God's blessing me, and I'm thankful. That's the way it should be, isn't it? Well, somewhere in all of that, I can remember opening up to the letter of James and studying this in James chapter 1 at verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials. And verse 3 tells us that these various trials are the testing of faith. I don't like that. I don't want my faith to be tested. Things are going just fine the way they are. But there's one particular word here that really, really troubles me. And that word is when. And it bothers me because of what it doesn't say. Notice that what it doesn't say, and that is if, but rather when. If it was if, then I could dismiss that, because that's like maybe. Well, maybe. That happens to everybody else. Doesn't happen to me, right? But it doesn't say that. James says when, which means it's going to happen. At some point, a trial, a testing of my faith, a testing of your faith, a testing of our faith, personally and collective, it's going to happen. It's not something that can be dismissed. Not if, but when. So, in light of this, I've learned and expected my faith to be challenged. Perhaps you have too. I've also learned that this test or trial is not a bad hair day. It's not one of those days where the patience was tried, or it's a flat tire, or the power went out, or the water heater's leaking, or late for work. You know, that all happens at once, right? I've had days like that. You've probably had days like that. It happens. But that's not what we're talking about here. A trial and a test of faith is when our belief and our trust in God, in His Son, and the way we demonstrate that is confronted. It's when we know whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, I'm talking about the narrow path, the route of godliness. When that is confronted, when we are confronted to compromise that or give that up, that is a test of our faith. And again, that can be personal or collective. So you might have recognized what I read there out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. So be assured, our faith will be tested. It's not an if, but when, as we engage in that which is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and good, expect to be confronted, tempted, or asked to compromise or give that up. Now, the question is when? When will that happen? Can we put a time frame on it? Because I like to know if it's tomorrow, I want to be ready, right? Does the Word of God give us any indicators, clues, or specifics? Well, maybe not specifics. Like, if it's tomorrow, I want to know, right? But there are some clues. This is from Hebrews chapter 11, at verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he left not knowing where he was going. So a little background on that. It comes right out of Genesis chapter 12 at verse 1, which says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. Interesting to note that we're not told of any issues or problems where he was. For all we know, things were peaceful, no threats. Family life was good. Yet God says, go from your country. Abraham did that. And what we do know is that from that starting point, there were many tests of Abraham's faith. Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. He made a decision when he was younger, when he was a younger man, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the temporary pleasures of sin. He chose to be with the people of God. He left Egypt, the position of authority, and the comfortable benefits. He left all that, and from that time forward, his faith was tested many, many times. The Apostle Paul, known as Saul, at this time in Acts chapter 9 that I'm referencing, he was on the road to Damascus. He was on a mission to imprison Christians, and he was confronted by Jesus. And Jesus asked him, "Why are you persecuting me?" And then in Acts chapter 9, Jesus says, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." From that point forward, Paul's life changed. His mission became the work of Christ, and his faith was tested many, many times over the course of that mission. So what are these three examples? What am I trying to draw out of these three examples here of faithful men? So not only did their allegiance change, but what I'm focusing on here is their environment changed. Their comforts and securities, the home base where they normally operate, that all changed. Go from your country, Abraham was told. So another way to say that is just, you're going to another place. You're going to a place that is foreign. His environment changed. Moses, go to the people of God. His environment changed. Paul's life changed. He's going a different way. His environment, the circle of his operation, changed. So when do the tests come? The clue is when the environment changes. When the environment changes, the tests will follow. We're in the middle of an environment change. And the funny thing is that we didn't have to go anywhere for that to happen. It came to us. It's like we're not living in the same place anymore. Our allegiance didn't change, but the environment did. My conclusion is, expect our faith to be tested. And when? Right now. Right now. I got a little note here. It says, emphasize this. So let me read that again. My conclusion, expect our faith to be tested. And when? Right now. What do we do about that? Well, James says, consider it all joy. Not sad, despondent, not anxious. Consider it joy. That joy there has to do with the assurance that God is in control. That's not always an easy thing to do. It's not easy to stand in the middle of a storm and be joyful. So think of those guys on the nightly news, the weather reporter, and you've probably seen those kind of things on the videos on the news, and they're standing out there in the middle of a hurricane, trying to hold on to a pole, not get blown away, and the weather's just going, and things are flying around, and the rain's going sideways. Not easy to hold on, is it? Things might seem out of control, but God's people know that God is in control. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were put into prison for the sake of the gospel. Verse 22, this is Acts 16, starting at verse 22, says that the chief magistrates tore their robes off them. Imagine that. I suspect that leaves him pretty much naked. So the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison. That's the worst of the worst. Stinkiest, the darkest. And he fastened their feet in the stocks. So picture yourself in those, walk in those shoes for a moment. For the sake of Christ, being beaten with rods and thrown into prison and having your feet in stocks, how might you react to that? Verse 25. Now about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. Praying and singing hymns of praise to God. They knew God is in control of this. And the prisoners were listening to them. Imagine what the prisoners were thinking. What's up with those guys? I mean, they're in the worst of the worst place they could be. For all they know, tomorrow they're going to hang on the gallows. They're singing, they're praying and singing hymns to God. They know God's in control. Here's the way Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven. Being joyous during trial or testing is difficult. However, God is expecting this of us. And so there's a rewiring there that needs to be done. If you were looking at a diagram and you know, you could say, well, I got that wired wrong. You disconnect that, connect over here. That's what God is asking us to do. Don't be sad, depressed, upset, or anxious. Be joyful. Know that God is in control. It's on our shoulders to do that. James chapter 1 at verse 3 talks about knowing. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. This knowing implies our prior experience and knowledge has prepared us for this testing. So this is not a situation like Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, where the prophet was telling God's people, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We might make that observation about people in the world, people who have stiff-armed God, but we are not those people. We are those in Christ who have studied, gained knowledge and experience, built on the rock, and who have sought wisdom, who have practiced what they learned. These people, we, have something to stand on. And this is a good thing when the testings and trials present themselves. It's like saying, I was expecting something like this might happen, and I'm prepared for it. I have a place to stand in the middle of the storm, and I've been digging deep to plant those roots. Like Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. Like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. We have an anchor. We have a hope and a place to stand. It's like the athlete that's been training and preparing and exercising. They've done that to go the distance. Missed a little part there. Let me back up for one little piece here. So we're in the middle of this storm, and we're standing. We're standing firm, and we're rewired. Expressing joy. And what does that do for us? Well, James says it builds endurance. So it's that steadfastness, that constancy It's that standing firm, like I mentioned to you in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. So like the athlete that's been training, preparing, and exercising, they've done that to go the distance, to stay in the race. And those who haven't trained, who haven't exercised or prepared, they're not going to go the distance. They won't make it. They give up. The Apostle Paul at the end of his life said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." He was able to say that because he did exactly what James has laid out here. He was joyous, he stood firm, and he went the distance. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 at verse 9, he said, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." There's that little word "if" again there. It's conditional. Everything hinges on that. Falls on our shoulders. It's our responsibility not to grow weary. It's our responsibility to be joyous. And it's our responsibility to stand firm and hang in there. So here's the flow of the message. This present world is changing. Our environment is changing. It's right in our face. Can't deny it. There's an easy line to draw. Pre-COVID, COVID. Expect our faith personally and collectively to be tested. Not if, but it will be. And in my opinion, is happening right now. We're being tested right now. Meet that with joy, stand on the foundation that we have built in Christ, and do not grow weary. I'll leave that with you. If there are any spiritual needs, well, take advantage of the time we're together here, and we'll help out. So Aaron's got a song.